Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Don't forget to check your email because all of the invites went out today for the big Commerce Casino Tournament come Thursday. That is the day after tomorrow. Tournament starts at 8. Be there by about 6:30 at the latest because you want to get some of that free food if you're a player. And enjoy yourself. Get a couple of drinks maybe under your belt before you start playing cards. Or I don't know what you do. Maybe you don't drink. You have a couple of iced teas. And it's always a great event. You don't have to drink. You don't have to eat. You just have to play cards to win. And the last time we had one of these events, a complete novice won. A guy that had only been playing for like a week or two won the whole tournament. Giving away $6,000 were the prizes. Who could not use a little dough in this crazy economy? So Thursday, Commerce Casino, please show up early and get yourself a seat. Enjoy yourself. All right, I got to thank Paul Majors coming by. That guy is a major, major stud and does the news better than anybody, with the exception of our very own Gina Grad. And Gina Grad will be doing the news here as soon as I... Jesus Christ.
God damn it.
How long have we been doing this where, you know, this goddamn thing can't be put up over here? God almighty.
Sorry.
All right. Epic. Gina Grad in the news, everybody.
Now, from the 97.1 newsroom.
Hey, Tim, don't you think I'm like a sexy Paul Majors?
Here's Gina Grad with the news.
Oh, actually, I guess that would be Pat Harvey. She's pretty hot.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. All right, what's going on with that news, Gina Grad?
Well, current President George W. Bush and First Lady Laura appeared on Larry King Live tonight, giving one more interview before giving up that White House.
Uh-oh.
In this clip, the Bushes talk about George's ambivalence and whether or not they like President-elect Obama.
Yay. All right, here we go. George and Laura Bush on with Larry King.
Yeah. Is there ambivalent feelings?
No, I don't think you can be ambivalent. First of all, I'm looking forward to the inauguration of Barack Obama. I will have a front row seat in what is an historic moment for the country.
You're hoping to have a front row seat.
Yeah.
You got one with your name on it, Bubbo. I'm hoping to get a front row seat. You got one. I don't got one. You got one.
I will have a front row seat in what is an historic moment.
Oh, you will have a front row seat. I see. I thought you said he was hoping to have a front row seat.
He'd be very humble.
Country.
You like him?
I do. Yeah. I do like him, and you'd like him, too.
Oh, I know. But he was so critical of you. Did you take that personally or you don't?
I did.
You did? Were you angry at it?
Yeah, sort of. George didn't even really know about it because he didn't watch it that much, though, I don't think.
I don't believe that. And the president's not watching the election?
Like you said, you got to avoid a lot of things.
I'll bet George probably wished that Laura didn't say that.
Oh, I did.
That's his reputation, that he really ain't paying attention to a lot of things, including who's running for his house.
Yeah.
And his office.
Moving in.
Yeah.
Also, I don't mean to be like, whatever, like fourth grade vocabulary teacher, pretentious. I'm just wondering, didn't you get the sneaking suspicion that he did not know what the word ambivalent meant?
Yeah.
I don't know
so.
If I could be ambivalent. Really? You can't be really happy and really sad at the same time to leave the presidency? Oh, I think you
all
can.
All right. I think so, too. I think that Larry King, you know, probably threw him a curveball there. How dare him.
Uncle Larry stumped him up.
Yeah. All right, what else going on in that news?
Well, Page Six magazine reports that while most parents go to great lengths to keep their children healthy, many New York City parents have started bringing their kids to sick children's houses specifically to catch chicken pox.
I don't get that.
See, my mom did that.
She did?
Yeah, that was in Kansas. You send all the healthy kids over to the sick kid's house. To catch it, so they catch it and get it over with.
And what, you just hope that whatever the kid has is not terminal?
Exactly. Well, funny you should say that. That's what they're worried about.
Uh-oh.
Many pediatricians consider chickenpox parties a terrible mistake, as children could come down with encephalitis or group A strep instead of that mild case of chickenpox that they're hoping for. It's unlikely that there will ever be a complete consensus about whether or not to vaccinate kids or not. For now, it's up to parents to make their own decisions. And these chickenpox parties are growing in huge popularity right now.
Jesus Christ.
And what do you do at a chicken pox party? You share utensils.
Well, these kids were encouraged to share lollipops, which I think is a very, very bad idea. I know we were just sent to the you know, little girl, little boy's house to watch, you know, Annie and Star Wars a couple times.
And you caught the chicken pox from some kid?
Beth Maloney.
Now, is there, like, the king of the chicken pox, like, the kid who's known as the best chicken pox giver?
Provider?
Yeah.
No, I
he
think...
He is the best pox?
Well, that's the thing, because, you know, back in the day, I'm sure this still happens by email now, but they would pin little pink slips to the kid's shirts and send them home, and the mom would go, what is this? Oh, Jason Stanley has chicken pox. All right. Get in the car.
And everybody all the kids... goes to Jason's house? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It that seems so archaic. It seems like, you know, you guys were around in the 1500s doing this.
But do people get chickenpox vaccinations?
I think so.
Really?
Cause I don't know.
I mean, at least then, I thought it was you get chickenpox as a kid, which is no big deal, really, and then you're vaccinated for life, and
you're
good.
No big deal, except for the kid who has it.
What do you mean?
It's a big deal for the kid.
Well, they get over
it.
You get a fever and a couple bumps and whatever.
Yeah, I know.
Now, if I had to look at a kid with chicken pox, I would never stop throwing up. But at the time, it didn't seem like a big deal. They're disgusting kids. But if you get them as an adult, it can be deadly, I guess. So you want to get it when you're little.
But see, don't you run the risk of, you know, hey, you know, Jason Bresnahan has the chicken pox. All right, well, let's go over to Jason's house.
Yeah.
And then, like, 2 weeks later, you get a note from Jason's doctor that Jason's passed away because he had AIDS from a blood transfusion.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just the pox that he had.
I shouldn't have encouraged my daughter to take that blood oath.
Yeah, now he's dead, and your kid's got AIDS.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Sending your kid in to get sick.
So you're not going to pull that move?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
So what do you do? Did she get vaccinated for chicken pox?
I don't know. Her mom gets all the vaccination stuff going.
Mumps and measles and rubella and polio and all that old stuff. I think you just get the chicken pox.
Yeah, I think we're cool because I think everything she's had, she's been inoculated for everything. So she's fine.
After all, she's not one of the devil's children.
No. And she's not one of the ones that's going to walk around and just hope to God that some disease doesn't kill her. We're on top of it. We are on top of it over at the Conway House. All right, I believe in modern day medicine. I believe these guys. I believe these guys in the white coats that go to school for 8 years and study and study and study might have a hand up on guys like you and you who don't get inoculated and then get the whole world sick.
Oh, P.S. I the story was a little complicated. I wouldn't have been able to back it up, but just FYI, there's a big news story right now that they think they gave everyone the wrong flu vaccination. Just FYI. So have fun with that shot that you got. It's not going to do anything for you.
I'll get another one.
Anywho.
All right. Yes, I had the flu shot. All right. And I am very proud to say I got one. And I am very nervous to say that nobody else here at CBS seems to care about getting one.
And I'm nervous that you got it for strain A and they're really worried about strain B.
I don't know why I get inoculated around here. I work with these heathens.
Yeah.
Again, these devil's children here who just want the world to end with their flu. Jesus Christ. All right, what else going on in the news there, Gina?
Scores of Los Angeles Unified School District teachers could face mid-year layoffs, they say. The dire scenario could result in the state legislature, they can't raise revenue to close part of the current year's state budget deficit. Those at risk would be more than 2,000 probationary teachers who have taught for less than 2 years and lack tenure rights.
Good.
In this clip, UTLA head A.J. Duffy speaks out against all the various things that should be cut before the classroom needs are cut.
All right. Here we go. Big cuts before the teachers. I agree with them.
Cut everything else. Sell every building. Get rid of every bureaucrat. Do not cut where it hurts the classroom and the school site.
Yeah, I agree with them. I mean, how can you keep, you know, I agree with them. Get rid of the administration. Get rid of, you know, some of the guys who are, you know, maybe fixing some of the buildings, but don't get rid of the teachers.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ, the LAUSD, if you look at manual arts, I think it was manual arts, right?
It was.
That 3% of the kids who graduate from manual arts are proficient in math. 3%.
Jesus Christ.
And that's why I say LAUSD is beyond repair. Because LAUSD, when there's a budget crunch and there's a crisis down there, their first idea is to get rid of the teachers.
Right, which is very counterintuitive if you think about it.
It's the worst. But that's the mentality of LAUSD. Whatever is worse for your child, that's what we'll do. That's what they should. That slogan should be
motto.
On. Yeah, that motto should be on the school and the front of every school building.
The gym crest.
Yeah. However, whatever's going to F up your kid, that's what we're into.
Yeah.
Because they will. They will break the spirit of that young child of yours. It'll start to happen the first day he or she walks into LAUSD. You will not recognize that kid after they're done with high school.
God.
That will be a completely different human being. And all of the hard work that you put into teaching your kid right and wrong and teaching your kid to, you know, to have a spirit and to have enthusiasm and to, you know, and have manners, the LAUSD will strip that from your child and turn them into a common, everyday, rude criminal. That's what they do.
You make it sound like a minimum security general population prison.
You know what? It almost is. You have to go through metal detectors to get in there. They lock the school down when somebody is found with a gun, so you can't get out.
Right.
That's why they have to have these portable toilets in classrooms
in
case there's a lockdown. And it is. It's a minimum security prison. And there's more security there than some of the federal prisons.
And, you know, I don't really see that flying in Johnson County, Kansas, over at Shawnee Mission South.
If you have children, please.
Take them out of town.
Please. Please, and I'm praying that you do not put them in LAUSD. If you can afford it, or if they can go live with their grandmother somewhere, or their aunt somewhere in some other school district, but please don't put them in LAUSD. If you love your child, you'll try everything you can not to put them in LAUSD. All right, what else going on in the news there, Gina?
Well, in a hometown story, Fox News revealed today that when a 5-foot, 275-pound Kansas woman found out that she had a tumor on her spine.
Wait, how tall is she?
5 feet tall.
5 feet tall. What does she weigh?
275.
275.
Yeah.
That's a huge bitch.
Yeah, look at Randy on top of it. Like the one opportunity he had to really nail
it. Ever. And not get yelled at for playing it.
The screen froze up.
That's like...
and then he blames it's like a good carpenter never blames his tools. Isn't that what you always said?
Tim, goddammit, the screen froze up.
Randy Wang Steakski.
Yes. All right, so she's 5 feet tall.
Yeah.
275 pounds.
Yeah.
That's a huge bitch.
There you go. And she's married, right?
I don't think so.
I think she is.
Is she?
I think she's married.
I definitely didn't see that.
A couple different versions of that story. Yeah. I believe that she's married. And so what happened to this woman?
Well, she had a tumor on her spine, which is very sad. She was told by her local hospital to get an MRI because that's very important. But the MRI machine that they provide at UMKC at the hospital wasn't big enough to accommodate her. So guess where they suggested she go?
McDonald's? No, Los Angeles?
No.
New York. I don't know.
They suggested she try out the MRI machine at the Kansas City Zoo.
Oh, Christ almighty.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Carolyn Reagan's problem was twofold. She was too heavy for the table and too wide to slide through the opening.
Wow.
Yeah. So
she's thick and...
She's thick and wide.
Wide. Wow.
And it all makes sense, finally. So why not build scanners that will accommodate bigger patients? Well, there are some out there, but hospitals and imaging centers often opt for the machines that provide the clearest image, and those typically aren't the ones that hold the, girthiest patients.
Now, if you're the patient, you're 5 feet tall, 275 pounds, and the doctor says to you, you need an MRI, and he writes out a prescription, and on the prescription it says LA Zoo... Don't you always remember where you were when that news was laid on you?
Kennedy's assassination and told to get an MRI at the zoo.
Yeah, go to the zoo and get an MRI. And how about the ride home, the quiet ride home, for the husband and the wife, the two of them?
Yeah, awkward.
And how about calling the kids, too? Hey, the kid calls up, hey, how did mommy do?
Well,
I got we're not actually coming home right now. We're going to get the MRI. Oh, you want me to meet you at Cedars for the imaging center?
No.
No, actually, it's Griffith Park, LA Zoo.
Yeah, just meet us between the pandas and polars.
Jesus
and,
Christ.
And we'll be waiting for you.
And how do you walk in? First of all, do you have to pay admission to get into the zoo?
I would hope not. That's insult to injury.
And then you walk into the zoo, and is there a line of fat people that are all getting
for the MRI.
Imaged?
I honestly think you walk that long walk alone.
You do.
I doubt there's a line.
And does the zookeeper give you it?
You know what? They probably do.
Or the vet?
They're experts. They're trained.
Jesus Christ.
They probably give you a mild sedative. They lift you in one of those panda hammocks and lift you onto the table.
God almighty. You know what? if that doesn't get you to stop eating, nothing will. You've been told to go to the zoo to get an MRI.
Yeah.
So the zoo!
Apparently, we now know that there is such a thing as too thick and too wide.
Christ almighty, man. What happened to society?
Yeah.
I love the fact that they have that's the solution. You know, I often read, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, before scales got bigger that could accommodate people, big fat guys who were like 600-700 pounds, in order to get weighed, they'd go down to San Peter to the tuna docks.
No.
And they'd stand on the big scale down there at the tuna docks. And I thought that was embarrassing, but not quite like walking into the zoo to get an MRI.
Yeah, because...
I mean, now, are you in line, again, is there a hippo, a rhino, yeah, an elephant, this woman, a polar bear, yeah, a grizzly bear? I mean, is there a long line of people
animals,
waiting,
yes,
in an MRI,
probably,
and you got to stand in line?
Yeah.
God almighty.
Yeah.
All right. Well, she... Did they get the tumor?
Well, they did, and I think at the end of the day, the happy ending for her is they did find an alternative way to do it because she was too embarrassed to go through with it.
Right.
But it was an option. She said it was a very embarrassing and frustrating process, but at the end of the day, they found an open MRI machine. Just barely accommodated her.
Jesus Christ. She's wearing an MRI machine. All right, real quickly, what else is going on in the news there?
Well, finally, in another weight-related story, all Damien Hall and his wife Charlotte wanted was to offer a safe and loving home to a child and enjoy the responsibilities of adopting a child. The Halls thought they were ideal candidates, but the couple were left in shock when their parenthood plans were put on hold for one simple reason. Mr. Hall was judged to be too fat to be an effective father to a child in need.
Oh, boy.
In this clip, the 340-pound man speaks about the difficulty he's faced because of his obesity.
Here we go.
You know, it's very difficult to put into words the emotional, you know, the emotional desire to have kids, especially when you know that you're not allowed to because of my weight.
Yeah,
because
you might eat them. All right.
What do you think that's about?
I love these fat stories, though. Well, the guy is overweight. He's in his 40s. I mean, he's massively overweight. They think he's going to have a coronary in the first couple of years of that kid's life.
But, you know, he doesn't look like that obese of a guy. He's tall, just like a big teddy bear kind of guy.
Oh, there's something else going on there. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe. Is that what they tell him? Just tell him.
Maybe he likes the track or something. I don't know. All right, what else going on in the news there, Gina?
That's what's going on.
All right, the news with Gina Grad, everybody.
The news with Gina Grad.
I'm Paul Majors.
I'm Gina Grad.
Give us 8.5 minutes, and we'll give you 8.5 minutes of something.
All right, we're going to take a break and come back and talk to the Israeli Council General. Look at that. Now, the Southwest region. His first name is Jacob. I think it's Dayan?
Dayan.
Dayan. And he's going to tell us what's going on over the Middle East for guys like me that have no idea, man. I just see people shooting each other. I have somewhat of an idea what's going on, but this guy will lay the story on us. All right, it's the Tim Conway Jr. Show, and we are live right here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Your butt is wide. Well, mine is too. Just watch your mouth, or I'll sit on you. The word is out, better treat me right. Cause I'm the king of cellulite. Ham on
97.1 FM Talk.
Alrighty, welcome back everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. Now, normally we don't do a lot of serious news stories around here because by 8 o'clock, you folks already know the news, and you don't need my stupid opinion on what's going on in the world. So we try to keep it light. But since this Israeli-Palestinian conflict is taking up a lot of everybody's newspaper and online, and we see it on TV every day, we thought we'd get at least another angle on it because I truly believe that the press in the United States is really one-sided when it comes to this issue. So we invited Jacob Dayan, and he is the Israeli Council General of the Southwest Region. Nice to see you, man.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
Yeah, so what's on over there in Israel? Bad vibes, huh?
Big things, like the stories you were telling before.
Bad
vibes, yeah.
Now, for people who don't, who've never been to the region like myself, how big is Israel? Isn't it about the size of Los Angeles County?
Something like that. Israel is the size of New Jersey, exactly.
New Jersey?
Yeah.
Okay. And how many people live in...
Seven million.
7 million?
Yep.
You know, we had Malibu Dan, who is... his name was Dan Finder. He used to be with us on the station. And the sweetest guy in the world. Happens to be Jewish. But not one of the smarter Jews in the world.
Hey,
and
buddies.
We'd asked him at one point how many people he thought lived in Israel. And he said, honestly... He said 1 billion.
Jesus Christ.
I wish.
He was off by 993 million.
He has this Jewish perception of how many Jews are there in the world.
Yeah, he can tell you how to rebuild, you know, a glass pack on an old Toyota Tercel, but he cannot tell you how many people live in Israel. All right, so 7 million people. That is smaller than L.A. County.
Yes.
I think L.A. County has close to 11 million?
About 11.
Wow, 11 million people live here. And it's a relatively small place. Now, Gaza, where the fighting is going on primarily right now, is even smaller.
It's much smaller than that. It has 1.5 million people over there.
Right.
Till 3.5 years ago, you had Israelis living there.
Right.
And then we pulled out completely from Gaza. We left Gaza to the Palestinians. So then you have only 1.5 million Palestinians living today in Gaza, which is one-fourth of the size of Israel.
Right. Now, Gaza used to be Israel?
Yes.
And the whole coast there?
In 67, there was a war.
Right.
And Israel actually conquered Gaza and what we call Judea and Samaria, the West Bank. And since then, it belonged to Israel.
Right.
I'm not going to the biblical days, of course, that Israel was much bigger and wider than that. But going back to 48 and then 67. And 3.5 years ago, Israel pulled out completely from Gaza unilaterally. We decided to leave Gaza to the Palestinians.
Okay, now... Israel had a conflict a couple of years ago. I think it was last summer or a year ago last summer on the northern front with Lebanon.
Two and a half years ago.
2.5 years ago already?
Yeah.
Wow,
time flies
like
while having fun.
Yeah, I guess
especially
so.
In the Middle East.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what you have now is you have terrorist organizations both in the northern part of Israel, in Lebanon, as you said, and in the southern part of Israel, in Gaza.
Right.
Both of them are proxies of Iran. One is Hezbollah, a terrorist organization in Lebanon that killed hundreds of Americans. And in the southern part, you have Hamas, that is a terrorist organization, and it's being perceived as such, not only by Israel, but by the United States, the European Union, and many other countries, Australia, Japan, and others.
Right. And recently, they started firing rockets at Israel. I think not just a few, like 600 of them or so.
Relatively recently, in the last 8 years, they've been firing more than 6,000 missiles.
6,000?
Yes, jeez. Towards Israel. If you visit, there is a town in the southern part of Israel, which is called Sderot. You had the Barack Obama, President-elect Obama, just visited Sderot there. And there are so many missiles there that we collect just to show the people what you can see there. And actually, you know, let me quote what President-elect Barack Obama said when he was standing there in the southern part of Israel in Sderot. He said, "If somebody was sending rockets into my house where my two daughters sleep at night, I'm going to do everything in my power to stop that."
Right. Okay, now, for the last 8 years... you know, a lot of people have had a problem with George Bush on a lot of hosts of different levels. But even Bill Maher, who's been very critical of George Bush and his whole administration, says that George Bush has been the best friend to Israel that we've had in generations or perhaps in the history of the United States, been Israel's best friend over the last 8 years.
I have no doubt in my mind that President Bush loves the state of Israel. When he visited Israel, actually, in May last year, he said in the Israeli parliament, he said, "Israel's population may be just over 7 million, but when you confront terror and evil, you are 307 million strong because the United States of America stands with you."
Look at that. Yeah, absolutely. Now, in Israel, you, unlike America... When you turn 18, you have to go into the armed forces.
That's correct.
For how many years?
For men, at least 3 years. For women, at least 2 years.
And that's a full-time gig. I mean, it's leaving home and living and breathing and working every day for the Army.
Absolutely. It depends what you do, but I was going back home every 3 weeks.
Is there a way to get out of that?
No. Yeah. Always there is a way, but
what if you're like obese? What if you're like that chick that had to go to the zoo to get an MRI? She's 5 feet tall, 275 pounds.
You know, we can find good things for her to do at the Army.
Yeah, like a minesweeper. just roll her down the hill.
Absolutely.
All right. So the conflict is going on. Israel had, I hate to say this, but this is sort of in the lexicon of the United States. Israel had an ass full of the missiles being shot at them.
Absolutely.
So they wanted to do something about it. Now, how does Gaza, this very small piece of property in southern Israel, or actually in, yes, the south west of Israel, how do they get the rockets? How do you get 6,000 rockets into that small area? They make them?
By two ways, yeah. One, they make it. They have developed a very successful industry of making missiles. And that's one way to get those missiles. And the other way, they have a very successful business of tunnels between Egypt. Gaza has a border in the southern part with Egypt.
Right.
And they dig tunnels between Egypt and Gaza. And then they ship missiles all the way from Iran to Gaza.
I see. All right. Now, I've never been to Israel, but I've heard that they've got, you know, obviously some of the greatest women in the world are living in Israel. And
I'm married to one of them.
Is that right? Look at you, man.
I'm lucky.
Major stud. But also that the nightlife in Tel Aviv is sensational.
That's unbelievable. I think that people, it's all about perception. And when people visit Israel, the first thing that they say is, that's a life-changing experience for me. And especially when people visit Tel Aviv, the nightlife, the clubs, the people, it's so vibrant. I would say it's the night capital of the Mediterranean. You can go at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, and things are open, and it's so safe. Unlike
the
perception.
Can you get a drink there at 3 a.m?
Absolutely.
Why are we working in the United States? Let's go to Israel. It's like Las Vegas.
Absolutely.
And the bars stay open late.
Stay open all night long. And
it's a relatively safe city, Tel Aviv.
It's a very safe city. I'll tell you, when I started my job here in the consulate, I discovered that one of the people that works for me never visited Israel. So I said, how come a person that is representing Israel never been there? I sent her to Israel. And the first thing that when she came back, she told me, it's such a safe place. I was walking at 3 o'clock in the morning, going to complete strangers at night, asking for the address, and they were showing me. And I never, ever felt so safe, never in Los Angeles, but never, ever. So that was her first reaction when she came back from Israel.
Well, see, in Los Angeles, I got to disagree with you. I think in Los Angeles, they'd also show you where the address is, but that's after they raped you. So they would rape the woman, but then they still, after the rape, they'll show them where they dress. I mean, we're not complete a-holes here. You know. All right, if you'd like to talk to Jacob Dayan, again, Israel's Council General, the Southwest Region, and you're also Chief of Staff?
My previous job, I was the Chief of Staff to the Foreign Minister and Deputy Prime Minister, Tzipi Livni, who is now competing to be the next Prime Minister in Israel. We have elections in exactly 1 month, so she is one of the two primary candidates.
So you might be called back and have to sit in, and do a little politics for a while.
In the meantime, I'm sacrificing for the State of Israel here in Los Angeles on a daily basis.
All right, and did your wife come with you, or you're alone?
Three kids and one wife, and all came with me.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
Oh, boy. You couldn't work that out, huh? We got the free ride. All right, here are the phone numbers, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. We got to take a small break. We'll come back with your phone calls. And we're talking about what's happening over in Israel and the Gaza Strip. That's what it's called, right?
Yes.
Gaza City. And Israel has moved into Gaza City, or at least the outskirts of Gaza City. And I read about it online, but I'm not really familiar with, you know, all the intricacies and the whole history of the violence in that area. All we know here in the United States is it never seems to stop, you know?
It also seems like that in the Middle East as well. I'll tell you what, not going back 3,000 years of history, but taking you back to 1948, the UN took a resolution to divide Israel into two, into a Palestinian state and into an Israeli state. The Israelis accepted the resolution, the Palestinians rejected it, and immediately after
the
that...
The fun began.
Yes, 7-7. Okay.
All right, hold that thought. We're going to take a break here and then come back with Jacob Dion and your calls. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. We're live at 97.1 FM Talk. Everybody, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. Jacob Dion is with us, Israelis General Counselor to the Southwest Region, and also could be the Chief of Staff coming up here if your party wins, right? Good show. All right, let's talk about, take some phone calls here about the war going on between Hamas and the Israelis in the Gaza Strip area. Let's talk to Mike in Anaheim. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Jimmy, how you doing?
All right, man.
Well, you just basically said that, you're gonna take the other side, you know, the news media is all one-sided about this, and you're gonna look at it from the other perspective, and then you introduce this Dion guy. You're basically he's telling you from the angle that the news media is telling you.
That's not true.
What Israel is doing over there is barbaric. They are bombing schools. They are blowing ambulances off the road. It is not justified. If you guys want Hamas, go in there and get Hamas. Quit killing innocent women and children, which have done nothing to you or your people. That is pathetic.
All right. Mike, hold on one sec. Let's have a decent dialogue here. How do you respond to that, Jacob?
Mike, you know that every day the Hamas is using and abusing children. They are hiding behind the children and using them as human shields, which is terrible. Let me tell you a story, Mike, that it's a tragedy. We found a bunker that was in one of the houses, which you never hide a bunker in one of the houses. And we called all the people there. We made telephone calls to tell the people that we are going to bomb this house. And one of the Hamas activists went up to the roof, but he didn't go to the roof by himself. He took all his wives and the children as well. And all of them went up to the roof. Now, if a person wants to sacrifice himself, let it be. But he was sacrificing children and women. That's a very, very cynical way. And you know why? Because they are very cynical. They are using, in a very cynical way, the values of the West. For us, the most important thing is the value of life. We mourn when somebody dies. We mourn when a Palestinian dies, and we mourn when an Israeli dies. But they sacrifice children in order to gain the minds and hearts of the media. And they are doing it day in and day out, which is extremely, extremely sad. And if you hear the population there, the Palestinians, they will tell you, enough with the Hamas. We support, as all the others in the region, support the moderates in the region. We have no war with the Palestinians. We have a war with a terrorist organization that is using and abusing children.
What do you think, Mike?
I see your point on that, sir. I completely see your point on that. But the thing is, if it's Hamas that you want, send in some commandos and go in after the Hamas guys.
Yeah, I think that's what they're trying to do. It's just tough to, you know, to locate them within, you know, when they're surrounding themselves with kids and their wives.
He just said he's seen the guy coming on the roof. If they can see that one guy coming on the roof, they can justify who's civilian and who's not. And they need to quit firing them tank shells at schools. That's all I'm saying.
All right,
have a good night.
All right, thank you for calling. I think Jacob made it very clear that there are, you know, they're sacrificing women and children in this as well. Let's talk to Kareem in Yorba Linda. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Tim?
All right, man.
So, similar to the previous caller, I just wanted to actually bring the story back a little bit before 2006 and before 2005, before Hamas was even elected. We have to take this situation in context. The Gaza Strip is literally, like, it's 30 kilometers by 20 kilometers. It's a tiny area. And there are 1.5 million people living in this area. There was a ceasefire between Hamas and Israel. And in that ceasefire, part of the terms of the ceasefire is that Israel will open the borders with Hamas to let humanitarian aid and supplies and food come in. throughout the ceasefire, which Hamas, by the way, completely withheld. They totally held to the terms of the ceasefire. And Israel basically blockaded and did not allow any... they basically starved the Gaza Strip. Now imagine 1.5 million people. They don't have fuel. They don't have food. They don't have water. They don't have... And by the way, Israel is taking their water supply, the natural water supply in the ground. It's being taken. All of these natural resources are being tapped. And as you were describing earlier, Tel Aviv is a place to be. If you look at Gaza, Gaza is a dump. Gaza is a horrible place to live.
All right, let's let Jacob respond to this, and we'll put you back on, Kareem, here.
Kareem, let me make correct two of your assumptions. One, on the humanitarian aid. Israel is supplying all the time humanitarian aid, although you know Egypt has a border with Gaza, but we are continuing to supply electricity and oil and gas and food all the time, although they were firing missiles day in and day out. The second point, which you have to take into consideration, that Israel has pulled out completely from Gaza 3.5 years ago, completely. Now, it was up to the Palestinians and to the Hamas to make a decision whether they are turning this place into an industrial zone that makes textile and or a paradise, but they decided to make this as an industrial zone to make missiles. Now, during the ceasefire, and listen well to that, during the ceasefire, they were firing 470 missiles towards Israel. During the ceasefire, they enlarged the range of the missiles from 5 miles to 25 miles. This is why it's so crucial now that the next ceasefire, if it comes, they will not have missiles to the range of 40 miles, and then they will ruin your happiness in Tel Aviv as well. Not that the other cities are not there. You know, let me read you one point from the Hamas charter, and then it says more than anything else. In the Hamas charter, it says, Israel will arise and continue to exist until Islam abolish it, as it abolished what went before. And it says more than that. As the prophet Muhammad said, the time of judgment will not come until Muslims fight the Jews and kill them, and until the Jews hide behind the rocks and the trees, and then the rocks and the trees will say, O Muslim, O the servants of Allah, there is a Jew hiding behind me, come and kill him. This is the Hamas charter. This is an organization, a terrorist organization, that is calling for the destruction of the state of Israel. And I'm repeating, we have no war with the Palestinians. Actually, we are conducting negotiations with Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian president, and we want to achieve peace with the Palestinians. But it's because of such terrorist organizations that are terrorizing not only the life of 1 million people in the southern part of Israel, but that terrorizing the life of the Palestinian in Gaza, that we don't have a chance for peace.
Now, how about, like Roseanne Barr said recently, you know Roseanne, the very funny comic. You're familiar with her, right? She said that the Palestinians, not the Palestinians, but more specifically, you know, the people who they fight against. In this case, it happens to be one organization in Lebanon. Who is the organization that are fighting in Lebanon?
It's the Hezbollah terrorist organization.
Hezbollah in Lebanon.
Which killed hundreds of Americans.
Right. Well, she equated Hezbollah and these organizations in Gaza to street gangs in Los Angeles.
You know, that's simply ignorance. And I have no other word for that, because those are two proxies of the Iranian regime being trained and armed and harbored by the Iranian regime. And the Iranians are fighting against Israel till the last drop of blood of the Palestinians. This is what they are doing. And the Palestinians, especially the moderate ones, have to realize that the enemy is not Israel. The enemy is Iran and other terrorist organizations that are abusing their life day in and day out.
Let's talk to Daniel in San Pedro. You're on 97.1 FM Talk, and Jacob Dion is with us. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Good, man. Listen, I'm an Iraqi vet. I was there for 48 months, and I support Israel 100%. I'm Christian, but I always want to stay away from the Middle East. But being in Iraq, it's extremely difficult who your friend and who your foe is. And like you were saying before, the guy on the roof, they'll take a bus full of 10-year-old kids, fill it with bombs, and drive it right through a building. They honestly do not care. those guys, Hezbollah and Hamas, they have absolutely no care for human life. They don't care how old you are, who you are. It really is.
Now, Daniel, did you witness that firsthand in Iraq?
Oh, yeah. We used to see that all the time. You know, we were stationed in the Green Zone.
Right.
And when it was about 2.5 years ago, it was really bad out there. I mean, it got better, but then it got really bad. You have guys coming in, you know, acting as guys you talked to, you guys you've seen before. All of a sudden, these guys are trying to, you know, they're shooting, you know, RPGs at you. They're trying to bomb you, trying to drive Jeeps through your walls. I mean, do you know what I mean?
It's like
a war. There's no uniform. There's absolutely no uniform. It's not like World War II where you had the Nazis, the Japanese. It's very difficult. You don't know who's your friend. He might be your friend today, but tomorrow, you know, he'll stab you in the back very easily. And they don't care about kids, women. You know, I've been there, man. People don't realize. You watch the news and you don't realize how terrible it is and how the disregard for human life they have. It is unbelievable. It is amazing.
Well, I'll take your word for it. You were over there first and had firsthand knowledge. And by the way, there should be a parade like there was after World War I and World War II for you guys, you know, coming up in the next couple of years.
Oh, thanks, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. Right. And you know, Mike, hey, man, God bless you, man. We're on your side, trust us. We're on the side of righteousness. And right now, the absolute Hamas, they're just not right. They are wrong, and they need to see it.
All right, Daniel, thanks for calling, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there he goes. All right, we have run out of time, but we'd love to have you back on and perhaps, you know, have one of these callers come in and represent the other side. But I think that a lot of people, like myself, you know, we see what's going on over there. And obviously, yeah, you don't want to, like, see, you know, kids and women and people die. But a lot of us have no idea how long the history of hate and violence has been going on over there. And how you have to, you know, live with that day in and day out.
What we would like is to live in peace and quiet, having peace with our neighbors, and they will accept us. The fact that Israel will continue to exist there in the region.
Now, does everybody, like, you know, when you live over in Israel, especially when you live that close to Gaza or to Lebanon, does everybody have a bomb shelter in their house?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Jesus Christ, what a way to live.
Yeah.
All right, we thank you for coming on.
Thanks,
Jacob, and I hope you have a safe trip back.
Appreciate
all right, Jacob Dayan, everybody. We're going to come back and talk to David Mosikian from the Commerce Casino and give you all the details of what's going on Thursday at the Commerce Casino. So please listen to that, and especially if you got an email today and you're in the tournament. You'll want to hear the deets. All right, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show, live on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get complete shows from Adam Carolla, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, Danny Bonaducci, Tom Likas, and more. Just go to 971fmtalk.com and subscribe with iTunes.